Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, alcoholic, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. You can check out all of our podcasts. Podcast is also brought to you by The Nook, the coffee supplier. 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Located in Painter's Mill, just off Cave Neck Road. Look for the tent. How you doing? What's going on? What is today? Today is Tuesday, the 8th, December 8th. How's everybody doing? I've been talking to some people, and there are people that are not doing very well. And are you one of them? On the permanent bread, the glaze on my eyes. When I heard your voice, the distance caught me by surprise again. And I know. There it is. You will see the dawn again. You will see the dawn again. So what's going on? I know that for me, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling depressed, a little mopey, a little defeated. And it's real. They're now calling, there's a condition, post-coronavirus. I don't know, the condition that you're in after you've had it. Apparently that's not a good condition as well. It seems to be getting worse. Mixed messages. The serum is on the way. I saw a thing on the news last night. It says the United States didn't order enough. That's a mistake. Could be next June by the time some of us get a serum. What is it? A vaccine, excuse me. Well, geez. That means that we're going to be wearing masks till June. I'm not even sure. Is it the masks, I guess? I don't know. The controlling powerlessness. Is this something I can surrender? Is surrendering the right idea? I don't know. You know, that's always a, you know, I talk about surrendering. I talk about, you know, giving up, you know, quitting the fight, right? But that's not exactly how I'm designed. You know, I like a good fight. I like to fight my way out of it, you know? I avoided certain conversations because they're just, you know, they're too stressful. I don't need to talk about these things. It stresses me out. But have I become incapable of talking about stressful topics? Am I becoming just vanilla? Or, you know, whatever. You know, bland. Boring. I don't know. I think it's age. For me, 52, I think it's easy to surrender on some of this stuff, but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be pushed around. I have justified resentments, right? That's what these things are called when they show up. I'm justified. Of course I'm upset. I should be. Look at what I'm dealing with. It's an obvious choice, a justified resentment. But they do not work out. Justified laziness? Justified quitting? I don't know. But it's tough. And I was just talking to my friend this morning. He's like, you know, it's hard to get out of bed. You know, we slide into that, these weird habits, right? Whether it's an addiction, I mean, it's all self-centered shit, right? You know, when I want to, I feel this all the time. Like I'm possessed with the idea that I need to take a nap. And, you know, if I can just clarify what nap is to me, a nap is like, you know, a half hour on the couch, you know, shoes maybe still on. Just, it's like this mental reward that I've created in my head. Like, oh, I got to take a nap. It's like this safe spot. When I'm in the middle of work, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm tired. If I could just take a little nap. And then, you know, I don't want to, like, I'm on my way home. I'm like, I got an hour. I want to take this half hour nap. I got, like, other shit to do. But I would sacrifice all of it so that I could just go escape. I mean, that's kind of what sleeping is, sort of, right? We escape from reality. We get to take a break. We close our eyes and don't think about it. It's an escape. Was it an escape mechanism? Is that what they call it? I dig it. I get it. I love the idea of the nap. I'm depressed. I'm so grateful today that I don't have this desire to go pick up a drink. God. If anybody out there still struggling with drinking or you know, flirting around the edge of sobriety, maybe dipping your toe into the idea, but still, you know, living a life one foot in, one foot out, it's a rough, rough, rough place. But that's obvious, right? I drink. This sucks. But what happens if you don't drink? Right? What happens if you don't do drugs? What happens if you're just a person that's struggling? What is your drink? Is it food? Money? Something, right? But it doesn't, you know, maybe it's, you know, like I've always said, donuts don't get us put in jail. What is it that we're doing? Do we have something that, you know, when you go down for that amazing nap and you close your eyes, is there something that's laying in your mind waiting for you to take a look at when you shut your eyes, you know? And it's where we kind of work it all out. I know before when I go to bed at night, I close my eyes and I think. Is that dangerous? Do you know where, you know, when my kids are outside, my kids want to go outside. I said, that's fine. Just stay in this area. Don't go past this spot. We're so wussy. We're such pussy parents. Forgive us. But, you know, don't cross this line. Don't go past the trash can. Stay on this side of the driveway. Don't leave the yard. In fact, don't leave this 5x5 square spot. You're safe right there. But let's say I'm standing there, I'm sitting on the porch, and I'm watching my kids play in the yard, and my daughter goes around the bushes, and all of a sudden she's out of my sight. Projection, does that start showing up? Insecurity, I don't know what it is. But we start thinking, okay, something's going to happen? Now all of a sudden, now come back from behind the bushes. I couldn't see you. I need to see you all the time. Because sometimes when our kids or our life is out of our control or out of our sight, we tend to fill it in with a lot of weird, like, shit. Like, as soon as my daughter goes around the bushes and out of my sight, there's an axe-wielding madman behind there, and he's going to kill her or something, right? That's a little extreme, I'm sorry. But, you know, I fill in the gap. I don't go, oh, look at, she's on an adventure out of my sight, and she's totally safe, and nah. It goes bad. Same thing when we go up in our head, right? Unattended. Stay out of your head. You have no business up there. And I do that, you know, when I get, and I know better. I have a whole committee designed to know better than this. But sometimes I slip around the corner out of the way of the committee, out of the eyesight of the committee, and I start just going nuts with thoughts. And they're always negative. I can't figure out what my, you know, if I was going to do like a fourth or, you know, a fourth step or, a, you know, fifth step or whatever. I guess it's a fourth step. I was going to do like a four step and try to figure out what my issue is with this. I have trouble figuring it out. I don't like masks. I don't like the relationship I have with people from the nose up. I'd like to say that I don't like the fact that we can't go out to restaurants and stuff, but I don't really do that a lot. You know, when you have three kids, it's hard to, you know, we go out every once in a while, but. So it's not that. I mean, we can still buy junk. I don't know what... It's not that. I still luckily am working. My wife's luckily working. So it's not that. So I'm trying to figure out what it is. Am I... I mean, I'm bothered by the fact that a lot of people aren't doing as well. And that feels... I feel bad about that. But, you know, I can only... You know, look at so much outside of my circle, right? Christmas, my wife asked me last night, she goes, why is it that you just hate Christmas so much? And I'm like, you know, Christmas used to be a fucking real exposing time of the month for me. Really, like, I don't have enough money. It's usually that, financial insecurity. Am I going to have enough money to buy my kids anything? Do I work hard enough? I should have paid more attention in school. I should have gone to college. I should have had a better job. I shouldn't be in this position where I'm even worrying about money. But that was, you know, that was years ago. My life is a lot different this time at this point. You know, we don't really struggle with money. We don't have a lot of money, but we don't have a big sandbox to play in as far as it goes to spending and stuff. We keep it pretty limited. So it's not money. Is it my age? 52? You know, I've one of the things I've been struggling with a little bit is my lack of emotion for the passing of my mother. And, you know, that's a... I know what it is. And the fact, you know, I remember, you know, my buddy Matt used to always say, you get 2 days when someone dies. Everything after that, you're making it about yourself. And I was like, oh, my God, that makes such sense. I get it, Matt. Thank you. That is deep. I understand. And then I shared that thought with a friend of mine, and they're like, that's absurd. 2 days, that's all you get to mourn? And then everything after that is about you? That's absurd. He is too, I don't know, harsh, too strong on certain points, right? But, there, you know, maybe he's not right. Maybe he is, but I get it, right? You know, at some point... It becomes about me. And that's where it's up to me. What am I going to do with that? And, you know, when my mom, and I shared this, when my mom was put in the hospital, I felt like there was a day I didn't think she was going to make it. I didn't think she was going to make it. And I kind of did the whole, like, I went through it. You know, I kind of reflected and I prayed and I talked to her, and then she made it. And I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. But this time when she passed away, I mean, I definitely was crying. It was sad, and it was sad when we went and saw her, but people were like, you okay? Someone just texted me the other day. I know this is a tough, tough time with the loss of your mom. And I'm like, I'm not that bummed out about it. I mean, if I'm going to take a hard reality look at it, she died at 82. And I saw my mom for my 52 years at least, and she had a pretty damn good time. She made the most of her time here. involved with golf and, you know, the Nine Hole Ladies and the Bridge Club and all these different things that my mom used to do. She got the most out of it. And when I look back, I'm like, you know, the lady that passed away was not the lady that I built all of my wild memories with. The lady that passed away was the lady that I had decided at some point, maybe a year and a half ago, that I needed to really focus on wrapping it up with her. We were coming to an end. I actually thought my mom would live longer than my father, but it wasn't the case. But a year and a half, 2 years ago, I said, you know what? I told my wife, I said, I want to go over there every Sunday. I'm going to make them homemade breakfast. And I'm just going to spend time with them. And we did that. And she was, you know, I was so blessed that we got to do that. I hear this all the time. People say, you're just so lucky. I wish I'd have done that with my parents. What had to happen for that thing to kind of work out? You know, I could go over to my parents' house every day and my mom would be like, oh my God, Tommy, hi, I love you so much. You know, just a great... And my dad always had some chip on his shoulder. So my dad, and I love my dad, but he would be the pain in the ass. You know, everything would go smooth, but eventually him and I would get into it and that's what would ruin everything. So the first thing I had to do to make this happen was I had to surrender to my dad. And listen, like I said, I like a good fight. I like fighting with him sometimes. But it wasn't going to help the cause. And the cause was I wanted to spend some time with my mom and dad before, you know, they pass away. So I had to surrender the fight on that one. And I had to make an effort. And sometimes the effort is, it comes in like little small bits, you know. We'll just go over there, you know, maybe we go over the first time, we just have some fruit or something. You know, I don't know. But you figure out, you know, everything I seem to do in my life seems to be a habit. From drinking to thinking. Even my relationship, you know, we fall in, you know, my marriage, we fall into these habits. You know, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. Have to start making new habits on how I think about things. And that's how, you know, it was with my mom, and we got to do that. And then, you know, and then everything kind of fell apart, and I thought she was passing, and she kept living, and then she got COVID, and I said, that's it, you know, and I said my peace. Thank you, Mother. You're awesome. I love you. And then she lived again, and I'm like, wow, Mom, you're really, really hanging in there. Oh, I know. But I'd said goodbye. I've said goodbye. I've actually said goodbye to my mom probably 4 times. She had this bad infection when she had her hip replaced. I mean, she's had a few things that have happened that have been really bad. I remember having to have an ambulance take her to the hospital in like two or three feet of snow. And like nobody was out. It was just an ambulance and me and my dad driving behind it. And I remember saying goodbye to her there. I thought it was the end. And then out of nowhere, she passes. And, you know, good for her. Because the life that she was living was not the life that Jeannie liked. It is a celebration of being reborn. You know, I watch all sorts of crap on YouTube. It takes me down these weird places. But, you know, there's like this kind of this thing. A lot of people talk about UFOs lately. And they've got new footage. And the government announced that they're in possession of something made not from this world. You know, different things are starting to show up. And you know, it makes you wonder what is it all about? you know, praying, working with a higher power or a spiritual being. I don't even know, but more shall be revealed, I feel. More shall be revealed. Let's read something. Let's read something. So I guess the whole point of that was, listen, if you're like stressed out, if we're depressed, and I'll speak for all of us, I'll speak with us, if we're depressed, we got to figure out little things, man, new little habits, whatever it is, you know. And sometimes we have to refer back to some of the suggestions that were given to us early in the beginning of this program, which was one of them was, you know, put your shoes under the bed. Are you too sober to do these little rituals? You know, put your shoes under the bed, so when you have to get your shoes, while you're down on your knees, say a little prayer. It's very strongly recommended when you come into the program, when you're first getting sober. These are the things you must do, and unfortunately, we get better, and we forget to start doing, to continue to do the things that got us sober. And just because you're not drinking, or just because you're not doing dope, or just because you're not stealing, or just because you're not spending too much money, doesn't mean that you can't be consumed by self right now. And, you know, that ends up being my problem. Self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility shows up every day. All right, let me do this reading. A reading for the... I read, you know, I felt bad a little bit yesterday. I read how it works. I shouldn't have probably done that. So if I offended anybody reading that, I apologize. I think the point of reading that was really, it just talks about, you know, being honest. You know, if you don't want to get sober, be honest about it. It might be the first step in getting sober. You know, if you said, listen, I don't want to get sober, people, leave me alone. Maybe that's the first step in getting sober. Rarely have I seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed these steps. I mean, it's, if you don't want to get sober, be honest about it. But don't blame a program or someone trying to help you as the reason it's not working. You know, we have to be honest with everything, good or bad. I hate this program. I don't want to be sober. What part of that aren't you understanding? Sometimes we have to admit that kind of stuff. So that was what that was about. It's just about being honest. So don't be mad. Don't be mad. Don't be mad at me. Oh, this is a good one, people. December 8th, service. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover. Oh, boy, hold on. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish. To see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. I like that. I like that. I like that. All right. It is through service that the greatest rewards are to be found. But to be in a position of offering true, useful and effective services to others, I must first work on myself. This means that I have to abandon myself to God, surrender, admitting my faults and clearing away the wreckage of my past, surrender, and work on myself. Work on myself has taught me how to find the necessary peace and serenity to successfully merge inspiration and experience. I have learned how to be, in the truest sense, an open channel of sobriety. Well, yeah, right, exactly. Surrender, surrender, surrender. The funny thing is that when you finally kind of get into that place of surrendering and you know, forget the fight, I'm open, I want to pray, I want to be part of this, sometimes we feel like... too passive. I sometimes feel too passive. Like I'm not designed for this. But I tell you what, living that lifestyle definitely makes life a lot more serene. And I think that that's what really the point of it is. You know, I think we come in because we don't want to drink and we want all the problems to go away. But in the end, for me at least, it's really become about Serenity. Well, I know I had it all on the line, but don't just sit with folded hands and become blind. 'Cause even when there is no star in sight, you'll always be my only guiding light. Late in my youth, well, I'm still in awe of you. Discover some new truth. Now is always wrapped around you. But don't you slip away in the night.
Believe in, and you know I'll go your way.